For everyone, I love Mark. I really do. He is a no-nonsense gospel guy. He doesn't add any fluff. There's no long expanse of prose to wade through. He's clear. He keeps it short and simple. And in six small verses, we have an amazing story. Mark, especially, is also known for portraying the humanity of everyone, but especially the disciples. And as Jesus journeys with them to Jerusalem, it's clear that Mark wants us to understand just how much teaching Jesus is still having to do for the disciples. For the folks that have been walking around with him from the beginning, literally and figuratively. So knowing that, I want us to remember that Mark, while he seems to be raw and uncut, he does choose his words very carefully. Each word in the gospel is selected and written with purpose, and each lesson and story is told very intentionally. In our story last week, we learned that James and John had made a request. They had asked for places of honor in Jesus' coming kingdom. And Jesus had to remind them, yet again, power, honor, they're not the same in heaven as they are here. Those who want to be great must serve, because the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And this week, Jesus continues the lesson by showing the disciples exactly what he means by that. Now, the disciples know that they're on their way to Jerusalem. They know why. Jesus has told them. They know what's going to happen. So they're traveling. They're watching Jesus. They're watching him do his Jesus thing. They're trying to make sense of everything he's saying and doing. They've made their way to Jericho, a town about 20 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And Mark wastes no words telling us why they were there. We don't know. For Mark, it doesn't matter. That's not what we need to know. So they've come and they're leaving Jericho and they're on their way out of town. As they literally make their way through the fringes of that society, that community, they encounter Bartimaeus. An outsider in every sense of the word. We don't even know his name. We know he is the son of Timaeus. He is as disconnected and outside the community as one can possibly be. But he has heard about Jesus. He knows Jesus can heal him. Jesus can restore his life. Mark says he begins to shout, calling Jesus by name. And you know how it is when people start causing a ruckus, especially the people who aren't supposed to be there, people that weren't invited. The folks that are already a part of the group try to quiet them down. Get them out of the way. Hey, shh, shh. Jesus is coming by. But it never works. Parents who have had three-year-olds know this. It doesn't work. You need a child to be quiet in that moment. Try to calmly quiet them down, and I promise you, they will only get louder. Happens. The story is no different. Bartimaeus calls out, and when the group tries to quiet him down, Mark says that he cried out even more loudly. It's then that Jesus does his Jesus thing. again. That's what I want us to pay attention to. And I want us to really pay attention to the way Mark tells us. He says Jesus stopped and stood still, surrounded by a crowd, and tells the group to call Bartimaeus to him. And what they say is far more profound than what we hear in our translation, what we get on the surface. Moments like this are exactly why I love to read scripture in the original languages. It's a gift. It's why I love Mark, especially. What the crowd says to Bartimaeus is, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And while that's good news, when you look at it in the Greek, the word egeri, which the NRSV translate as get up, it's actually the same word that Mark uses to describe what happens when Jesus raises Jairus' daughter in chapter 5. She had died, and he raised her. It's also the same word that the angel uses when telling women why Jesus is not in the tomb. Mark wants us to understand that in Jesus' acknowledgement of Bartimaeus, his life is already being restored. And then Jesus models yet again the best way to serve. If you seek to serve someone, begin by respecting them. Give them agency. Do not assume that you know what they need from you. Jesus asks the same question that he asked in our last story to James and John. What do you want me to do for you? And then he listens to the answer. And when Jesus sends him on his way, go, your faith has made you well. He's free to make his own choice. He's free to make his own decision. His sight is fully restored. And what does he do? He follows Jesus on the way. He joins the group, the disciples, the serving, the learning. I like to think of the disciples as the first church. And the lessons that Jesus teaches them are just as necessary and appropriate for us as they were for them. The people that literally followed Jesus around had to be taught by him at every turn. We do too. Now, in today's lesson especially, Jesus leads the disciples. They're on a journey to Jerusalem. It's a journey of self-giving service. Do our words and our actions spread the news about Jesus? that when given the opportunity to encounter Jesus, people will ask, "Jesus, I need you." Friends, so often we like to hold on to what we know of Jesus' life and sacrifice as good news for ourselves. But as we go through the season of Lent, as we join together today with thousands of other people in downtown Atlanta on the Hunger Walk, I hope our eyes are open to the real physical needs around us. I hope our eyes are open to the ways we can always serve. Because one thing I'm certain of is that whenever society draws lines to exclude, to separate people, to oppress people, Jesus steps over those lines. Jesus stands with the oppressed always. Let's be known as the people who help erase lines, as the people who help restore life. Help us to be known as people that follow Jesus along the way.